I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Monday morning, April 25th, 2022. It is the Beating the Book podcast, NFL Draft Special. Love it. Skill Alexander, thanks for listening. Last year, you may recall, things got explosive on the podcast. We have one of those gentlemen back on the podcast this year from the Bet the Edge, NBC Sports Bet the Edge, and Deep Dive podcast is Drew Dinsick. And joining us this year for the first time on the NFL Draft, really a guy who has lots of, let's call it intel. I don't know how he'll characterize it. The Bear from ESPN's College Game Day, of course, Stanford Stephen the Bear podcast, and ESPN's Daily Wager. It's our friend Chris Felica. How you guys doing?
I'm doing great. So do I have a role to fill to get into it with Drew and you?
As long as it lasts a year, yes.
Okay, I'm good at holding grudges and vendettas. So yeah, we'll carry it through next year then.
Okay, we'll just start here because there's so much to get to. But we'll just start with the news of the day. Is that the market has moving very strongly as it started to this weekend at the top of the draft. And now we're seeing Trayvon Walker as high as minus 250 in some spots to be the number one pick in the draft. Chris, I was telling you this weekend, I made there was an Aiden Hutchinson minus 125 at number one and then an Aiden Hutchinson plus 145 at number two. I went ahead and did that little shenanigan. To try to bankroll build because to me if Trayvon Walker's going number one, Detroit is going to sprint to the podium to draft Aiden Hutchinson. What are you hearing at the top? And do you believe that Trayvon Walker will now, 3 days out, be the first pick?
It seems like that's the direction that this is headed, and it's surprising to me, and at the same time, it's not necessarily surprising to me. I was just listening to Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher, and Michael seemed to think that there was a little bit of Kahn's in the corner of Hutchinson, Balky is in the corner of Walker, and you would assume that if you hire Balky and he survives, you're going to entrust yourself with him making that decision. So it looks like Walker is going to be the pick, and if you're looking to invest and want to bet that, like I had to write a column for ESPN.com, and you could play Walker and lay the 225 or 250, whatever it is, to go one. You could lay Walker under 3.5 and an even bigger juice. Or the best way to play it, I think, is to take Aiden Hutchinson over 1.5, which was 190 at Caesars. Like that's the best bang for your buck if you do think that Walker is going to be the pick. And we've talked about this a couple of times where, if you just take a look at production in college, then Aiden Hutchinson's numbers and everything, he's the pick. But at the same time, if you look at that Orange Bowl game, how he was absolutely manhandled and taken out of the game by a Georgia offensive line that was going up against Trayvon Walker every day in practice. And you would assume that the Jaguars football operation, the football scouting people kind of had conversations with Georgia. Maybe they got some Georgia practice film and saw what Trayvon Walker was doing to that offensive line in practice. Like maybe that came into play. But if you're just dropping into a vacuum and you saw the Orange Bowl, Walker's the pick. If you're looking at the grand scheme of things and looking at production, then Hutchinson's the pick. But I do think it's going to come out and play where Walker is the number one pick overall.
The thing is, if it's interesting because if Trayvon is not the number one pick, where does he go? Which is because the way that it looks now to me, and Drew, I'll send this to you, and much of this might be through the lens of the bets I made, which we'll get to, but it feels like it's Trayvon 1, Aiden Hutchinson 2, some version of Thibodeau and the two corners, Stingley and Sauce Gardner at 3 and 4, not necessarily in that order, and then Charles Cross at 5. That feels to me right now, again, a little more than 72 hours out, to be 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. I'm not sure how you feel about that, Drew.
No, I think the point you're making is, can be even expanded more broadly. And what you're effectively saying is that the uncertainty is really, really high. That's an obvious, you know, observation of this year's draft. But even more than that, that if it doesn't go a certain path, then, you know, some of these guys, you know, their range of where they land could be anywhere from 2 to 7. And that's a huge range, yes. Honestly. Well, yeah, 1 to 7 really for Walker. And, you know, I think you're almost better off kind of picking on some, trying to pick off big prices this year, as opposed to getting cute with the over unders on some of these guys, particularly in the top 10. And what I mean by that is, specifically stuff like Stingley, stuff like Cross. Like if you can nail them to a specific pick, 5th or 3rd, right, you're going to get 5 to 1, 10 to 1 type of prices, as opposed to just taking like an over under at around a pick 'em. When you have such a high volatility on where these guys ultimately land in terms of the pick positioning, I think you're almost forced to attack things that way. I agree with kind of the breakdown that Chris had for the number one overall pick. And honestly, this is the craziest number one overall market we've had in at least 10 years, maybe more. To this point, I count 6 different market favorites and meaningful favorites.
Right.
You know, not just like, oh, well, somebody had to be at the top of the board. He was plus 200. No, like Thibodeau was minus 125 in November. Hutchinson was minus 150 in December.
Hutchinson got Neil, over $4, right? Yeah.
Well, it went Thibodeau in November, Hutchinson December, Neil in January. Coming out of the combine, it was Icky. Coming out of the after tagging Cam Robinson, it was Hutchinson. I saw Hutchinson as high as minus 400, and then it's now flipped to Walker. And the Walker flip is, you saw this coming a couple of weeks ago. If there were a couple of reports, people who were close to the Jaguars, that just like Chris said, it's split like the defensive coordinators and potentially the owner favored Hutchinson. Balky was Walker, and Peterson wanted a tackle. And, you know, just living in that vacuum where, trying to figure out, well, who ultimately gets to decide? Is it Balky? Like, is he have enough sway in that room to convince everybody to come in his direction? And if that's the case, then Walker, who was priced in like the plus 350 range, was a crazy price. I'm if that's how this goes and he ultimately goes number one overall, it's going to be a very happy day for me, surely. There is in the back of my head, if you have a big price on Walker first overall, I don't think it's crazy at this point to take a little bit of Hutchinson, because, you know, realistically, Balky could be out there doing media, making it clear that he wanted Walker, knowing that if Walker becomes an all-pro, he'll have the deniability. Well, Walker was my guy. I wanted Walker, but the owner took Hutchinson, you know, he's maybe building himself a little bit of an I wanted this guy kind of a case. But ultimately, there's a very thin margins between all of these guys in terms of projecting their pro performance. There's no standout superstar to be had, which is why there's so much uncertainty at the top of the board. And, you know, if the Jaguars take a prospect in Walker who has every single measurable at the 99th percentile, and he ultimately turns out to be a solid contributor for them, then that's probably the best they can hope for.
It's
Gil. I know. Yeah, you, go ahead. Gil, I mean, just before you, I was just going to say you had mentioned the number two pick. If it is indeed Walker number one, I think the Lions. I don't know if it's a slam dunk if they run the card up for Hutchinson. Like, I know for a fact that they like Thibodeau a lot. So, like, I think there's going to be a little bit of a discussion there. So, I mean, you can get around two to one. I think right now at Caesars, where I had to take the prices from for my column, it's Walker Hutchinson, Walker Thibodeau for both the same price at plus 200. So, like, it'll be one of those two. It's not going to be Gardner. It's not going to be a quarterback. But I don't know if it's an automatic slam dunk that it definitely is Hutchinson at two.
Oh, that didn't make me feel good. This is.
I kind of agree with this.
I probably should have started with this. The reason that we do an NFL draft podcast, and the reason like I could talk about the NFL draft, and I think I speak for all of us here, the entire week leading up to it, is because there might not be a better betting vehicle, and this is proven by the results we've all had the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, doing this, at least in the history of VSiN doing it on the show. It's just been an incredible boon for bettors. It's why a lot of bookmakers run scared here in Las Vegas, where we are here at the D. We're broadcasting live from the D. That's owned by Circus Sports. Circus Sports still hasn't put out their draft props. They're supposed to put them out 2.5 hours, about 2 hours from now, which is 12 noon Pacific. Nevada has to take down their lines 48 hours from now anyway. So they're literally doing a 48-hour window. You know, and that's almost like a concession on their part, because they'd probably rather not book it at all. So the reason that we do a podcast on this is because we all love betting the draft. Has been so profitable for us, which brings us then to the question of this year, which is how uncertain. We've all just talked about this right now, how uncertain it is compared to past drafts, because there is no, you know, Trevor Lawrence is absolutely going to get picked number one and then filter on down from there. So I guess the question is, and I think I might have asked this of both of you on a numbers game, what do you feel the most confident that you do know right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt? And Chris, I'll start with you. Like, what of all the things, and maybe it's not at the top of the draft, maybe it's this tackle will absolutely be drafted by this team, whatever it is, what do you think you know the most or the most confident?
Two things, that Garrett Wilson's going in the top 10, and I've seen that number move off of 10.5. To 9.5 now, and that at 9.5, it's probably not a play or not as strong of a play. Maybe the Falcons do take him at 8 as an instant Calvin Ridley plug-in. Maybe he's in play is ridiculously high at 3 to the Texans, because nobody really knows what Houston's going to do at 3.
Shouldn't they trade that pick? I mean, honestly, what are they doing?
But yeah, we always say trade the pick, but. But who's coming up to 3 in a year where there isn't a quarterback worth taking in the top half in the top half of the draft? You're not going to come up to 3 to take a wide receiver, or probably not an offensive lineman. But the fact that at 10.5 you're getting Wilson, possibility 8 to the Falcons, 10 to the Jets. If you can find a 10.5 still out there, that's a play. And the other one, which was mentioned already, I can't remember if it was by you or if it was by Drew, the Charles Cross stuff is out there, and I think that is a great example of what Drew said about finding plus prices. Like, he has been very strongly linked to the Giants, who have 5 and 7, and you can get him at plus 700 to be the 5th pick, you can get him at plus 600 to be the 7th pick, or you can get him at plus 400 to be the 6th pick. Like, he's going to go in that range. So you can really fool around with the plus prices there. If you want to cover your bases, I mean, get out your handy arbitrage calculator, and if you put $100 on him just as a base bet to go 5th at plus 700, you can play him at $160 at plus 400 and $115 at plus 600, and you profit $425, or you could just go 5 or 6, and you can profit, you know, $550. Like he's going to go in that range based on everything that I'm hearing. Like, Carolina is not taking a quarterback at six. Like, that's not going to happen. I know they don't have the second round pick, but you just cannot take a quarterback that high when you have so many needs and you have so many impact players that you can take at six. But Cross is definitely going to go in that 5, 6, 7 range.
Yeah, and I should add that before I send it to Drew for the same question, which is uncertainty at the top. A weak quarterback class that influences this as well, right? Nobody willing to trade up because, and Chris, I think you said this to me either on air or off, like anybody who takes any of these quarterbacks high is just ridiculous. And then the third thing is, and you alluded to it, we have 8 teams that have 2 picks. A quarter of the league has 2 picks. Also means a quarter doesn't have a pick in the first round, but a quarter has 2 picks. And it's never happened before. 6 is the previous record. It's happened 4 times, the latest of which was 2020. But this is 2 more teams than that, 8. And so will that create a flurry of trades? Will that maybe not create a flurry of trades and it will be some hybrid perhaps in between? And also, does that make it more difficult if a team like the Giants have 5-7, and the Jets have 4-10, and the Lions have 2-32 and on down the line? Does it make it that much more difficult for us to predict what they're going to do with their first pick vis-a-vis their second pick? Drew, same question for you about what do you think you know? What do you think you're the most confident in?
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
I would agree that in general, I'd say I'm at 95% that we do not see a quarterback in the top 10. And there's a couple reasons for that. One is quality of the class, certainly. Two is need. And third, I would say is, the quality of the quarterbacks next year's class really are quite good. And I think to your point, if there are trades and if I was running a team, I mean, you know, you always want to get an impact player and kind of continue, start the development process as quickly as possible. And it's stupid to kind of completely punt, an entire season. But if I'm a team like the Falcons or the Panthers, I'm perfectly fine punting a season if it means I'm picking at the top of next year's draft and I can, kind of find stability at the quarterback position in an otherwise weak NFC. And so if you can trade away picks and get first, more ammunition for next year's draft in doing that, then that makes a ton of sense to me. I think if there were a team that were sincerely sold in the top 10 on a quarterback, we would know more about it because you need to start preparing your fan base now so that they're not like, you know, it caught by surprise. Like, oh, we just took a quarterback nobody wanted. Awesome. You know, like you're putting yourself immediately on the hot seat if you haven't warmed up your fan base to the idea of taking a quarterback already. And so the fact that we're not there has me kind of in that 95% range that a quarterback does not go in the top 10. The other things I would say, we do know relatively high confidence. I think the first four players are going to be defensive players. And I think that helps kind of make one other sort of generalized statement about the top 10. If regardless of the order of Walker, Hutchinson, and Thibodeau, I think you're going to see edge go 1, 2, 4. All four teams clearly need an edge. All four teams, you know, that, you know, specifically the Jets picking at 4, you know, I think would like to address if you can get one of those, you know, the top three elite guys, one of those falls to them at 4, they're going to take them, I think. And then, you know, there was a ton of uncertainty for a long time about what Houston will do at 3, but enough people have been, you know, kind of really trying to ferret out some information there and have come away with defensive back. They're going to take either Stingley or Sauce, whoever they have a higher grade on. And if you read the reports this morning, it sounds like Stingley is the guy. So Stingley at 3rd overall would be wild.
You're getting excited now.
Yes. Give me that.
I've seen some Stingley at 5-1 to go 3rd overall, and I have that in my pocket. So I don't think that's crazy. Because still, you're betting into 5-1 Stingley goes 3rd overall. That's what is that? A 1 in 6 chance. That I think it's better chances than that based on who's reporting what this morning. That's just my personal opinion.
I mean, that's the thing that people have to understand. Like these are that's the thing about the NFL draft. You'll where else will you get such a good bet? Right, a 5-1 on something like that. And also, it's the one betting vehicle where I am willing to lay juice in a way that I might not in a standard Wednesday night baseball game, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because there are some props that are up there now that are -8, you know, 500. So they're implied probabilities in the 90% range, but it's 100% in reality. And if you can get a quick turnaround on that kind of stuff, like the standard practice, if you're a professional player, you're firing every piece of liquidity you have available on the Wednesday before the draft, because there are a lot of those types of edges where this is not a random event. Ultimately, right. Like this is there's a lot of known stuff here. So I think and for what it's worth, liquidity has been super, super shallow all draft season, even to this moment. And you mentioned it with Circa not really putting their picks up yet. Like it's been tough to get a decent sized bet written on anything so far. So there's going to be some, you know, a lot of the market moving is on really, really low limit stuff. And so, you know, I would be somewhat cautious and trying to read too much into that, even though we are a week out from that stuff. But to kind of go back to what we do know, though, I think realistically, edge, DB, edge for your first four makes total sense and is defensible given the talent pool you have available. Giants at 5 would then be your first potential landing spot for an offensive player. And tackle has, you know, been pretty clearly telegraphed to the Giants. Giants also are weirdly creating a need right now at wide receiver. I don't know if you've heard and seen all of this stuff, but Tony's on the market.
Yeah.
They're trying to move, they've Sterling, they're shopping. Like they could potentially create a need for themselves at wide receiver based on what they're doing from a trade standpoint. Similarly, Bradbury, they have to move off of Bradbury or else they're not going to be able to sign their rookie class. So Bradbury getting traded and creating a need for a starting defensive back is real for them. So I think with 5 and 7, Giants address tackle and either one of defensive back or wide receiver. And, you know, just given that you have 3 bona fide offensive tackles that they have eyes for in Neil, Icky and Cross, they may just punt on, you know, on tackle at that position and let the Panthers take their choice of tackle at 6, and then they get one of 2 that they are acceptable with at 7, or they flip-flop and they take their preferred tackle at 5 and then take, say, somebody like Sauce Gardner or best wide receiver on their board at 7. But I think realistically what we're breaking down here, Panthers go tackle at 6. At best case scenario, your first tackle's off the board at 5, your second tackle's off the board at 6. Where's your third tackle even going? Number 9 to Seattle. We're talking about sort of a implied slide here of the tackles based on where they're currently lined in terms of over unders. And so if you just kind of hit say over on Icky, over on Neil, I don't think that's a crazy strategy at this point. They're getting kind of juicy. But I think one or both of those guys could slide into the, you know, 6-7 or beyond range.
I have to tell you, if it goes by the script you just cited, it is going to be a fabulous night. I mean, literally the only thing so far that has tripped me up is if it's not Hutchinson at 2 and it's Hutchinson, say, at 4.
If you made me say what is my top 4 right now, I think it goes Walker, Thibodeau, Stingley, Hutchinson.
It's not the worst outcome.
you were talking about implied probability and like actual like real 100% probability. There's a shop out there that still has over 5.5 wide receivers in the first round minus 400. What does tell you about that? Because I think 6 is the baseline. Like I think there are at least 6, and you probably could get 7, right?
Yeah, I was talking with a friend of ours last week, and he was like, "Well, what are you most looking forward to?" And I was kind of like, "Well, I imagine day of the draft, I'm just going to fire all the liquidity I have on that over 5.5 wide receivers." But a bunch of shops moved it to 6, so now you're not in as great a spot as you were if over 5.5, because I could see it landing 6. But the wide receiver from 8 to about 16. You realistically could see all 5. You could see 5 guys go in that range, and it wouldn't be shocking. And then at the bottom of round 1, you have a bunch of teams that need wide receivers that potentially are then going to reach because they can't necessarily come out of this draft without addressing that position, looking squarely at like the Packers and the Chiefs. And so the idea of getting 6 or 7 wide receivers in round 1, I think, is pretty high probability.
I bore you guys, but I want to read through all of the draft bets that I have here momentarily. But one thing that I want to point out is that sportsbook point that you made here at Circa, they haven't put them up. Westgate hasn't put them up yet. Again, they're reduced to a 48-hour window, and they're doing it by design. South Point just put them out Friday. It's down currently. I think they're putting it back up this afternoon. So, like, there's a bunch of shops here in Nevada that have no interest really in booking this, but they're just doing it to say that they did it in the end and narrowing the window as far as possible. I will shout out Will Hill. I will shout out Stations, who are 2 shops in this town who have put up their bets, who have put up their props weeks ago and are actually taking big bets on all of them. So good for them. There are others like Boyd that are taking bets, but not at big limits. MGM has a limited book, but they'll take bets on it. And obviously that's only in Nevada. The DraftKings of the world have been offering these bets as well. Chris, could you tell people, because there's 5 states that do not allow, per gaming regulations, draft bets. Can you tell people what you're doing to make draft bets? This just drives home the point. You live in Connecticut.
Well, yeah, I do. And I don't understand why the state of Connecticut does not allow this. There is no NFL franchise in the state of Connecticut. The state of Connecticut, DraftKings, FanDuel, SugarHouse allow awards betting where it's a vote. Humans are involved in selecting the winner of these awards. I can bet awards and all of things like that, but I can't bet the NFL draft. So like if they said, okay, like North Carolina, for example, like at least I understand, okay, there's a NFL franchise in Charlotte, we're not going to allow it. Okay, I wouldn't agree with it, but at least I would understand the process of doing it. Like there's no like
Oh, we lost Chris right there in the middle. He was about to tell an unbelievable story about the measures that he's taking. Oh, we got you back, Chris. Go ahead.
I literally am, my travels to the draft in Vegas for work for game day, I made sure I booked a flight through Detroit to have about an hour layover in Detroit where I can bet NFL draft props at FanDuel, DraftKings, and SugarHouse in order to get my action in, because right now in Connecticut, I can't do anything. So hopefully these numbers will still be favorable to me at Tuesday around 7:30 a.m. when I have about an hour layover and I do like my Detroit McNamara sprint. From the Detroit sportsbook.
What other sport would you do that for? Where you would divert a flight to make bets on?
Oh, I can't imagine it would be anything.
I'm saying.
And it comes down to what you said. This is, there's handicapping involved, but it's information. Like the information for the most part is out there if you can weave through what the noise is like. And you said it as well. Like, I don't mind laying a price on -400 over 5.5 wide receivers if I know 6 is the baseline. It's like the only time of the year that I would do that.
What was last year the offensive lineman sort of the same situation? Mm-hmm. This is a very similar. I guess that was 2 years ago. O-line was like 5.5, and you kind of counted on your hands. You're like, oh my God, there's going to be 5 guys gone by pick 15. Like, the chances of one more guy going from 15 to 32 is high. This is the same kind of deal with the wide receivers this year.
So here are the bets that I have made, and I will tell you how in chronological order, these are the bets that I made. First cornerback drafted, I took a flyer on Derek Stingley at plus 280. This was several weeks ago. Based on what you're saying, Drew, we might have a shot at that. Quarterbacks drafted.
Can I interrupt you? Can I interrupt you right there on Stingley?
Yes.
Like, I get that. And I think people kind of are confusing what they've seen from Stingley the last couple of years, like compared to what it did his freshman. Like, the last 2 years, he just licked the stand. Like, LSU was a dumpster fire as a program the last 2 years. You cannot take anything to what happened the last couple of years on the field and him sitting out and basically saving himself. And maybe there were some off-the-field issues involved. I don't know. But forget about everything the last 2 years that you saw from Stingley. Oh, was he hurt? Was he not hurt? What you saw from him his freshman year, that's what you're going to get in the NFL. I question about that. And while I like Sauce Gardner, you have to remember, I think a lot of people are handicap on, oh, he shut down Jamison Williams in the Cotton Bowl. But the pass was not part of Alabama's game plan in the Cotton Bowl. They could have run for 400 yards in that game if they wanted to. Like, sure, he did a good job, but how many times did Alabama, Bryce Young, look deep to Jamison Williams? None. Because, like, they knew they controlled the line of scrimmage, they could just run for 6-7 yards a carry. So, yeah, if you like what you see over the couple of years at Gardner, fine. But just basing it on that one game, oh, he shut down Jamison Williams in a game where Alabama wasn't even trying to throw the ball, that's dangerous. So whether your bet wins or loses there, that's a good bet.
I appreciate you saying that because I got into it with a Bearcats fan on Twitter today. I was like,
oh, they love me too, Gil. Don't worry.
Oh yeah, he was like, you're crazy if you think Stingley, who never plays, is better than Gardner. He of course cited Gardner never getting beaten by anybody.
There's a lot of bona fide talent scouts who think Stingley is the best player in this draft.
I said that this morning. Right. I was like, if I'm an NFL GM, he's Champ Bailey. He's the guy. Yeah.
That's the thing with like a bunch of this stuff, like how, like in the same way, people are going to be perplexed. How could a guy like Walker go first overall? How could a guy like Stingley go above Gardner? Like, it's exactly the same situation. Like, these teams who are picking at the top are so devoid of talent, and they're all new, you know, they're all relatively, you know, recently turned over GMs and coaches and all that. Like, they're, you know, what's the safe pick doing for you? Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you're going with the high upside. Like, in this draft in particular, like, you're going to be rewarded for the high upside guys much more than the safe picks. And a guy like Hutchinson, a guy like Sauce, those are safe picks. They're going to give you some contribution. But, you know, these new franchises with all of these holes that are playing, you know, that don't have quarterbacks, so they can't realistically expect to compete this year. You know, they're going to swing for the fences.
All right, we'll rifle through these. First cornerback drafted, Derek Stingley, plus 280. Quarterbacks drafted in the first round, over 3, minus 115. I figured 3 was a push at worst. There are some people that think only 2 will go in the first round. I got a good number on that. I don't think that's available. Over 3, minus 115 quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Wide receivers drafted in the first round. I got over 6, plus 140 weeks ago. Wide receivers drafted in the first round, over 6 plus 140. That number is nowhere close to what it was then. It's about minus 160 on the over 6 now. Someone was asking me this morning, should I still bet it? I couldn't tell him no, but just had to explain that I got a much better number. Here's total number of safeties in the first round. I said under 1.5 at plus 188. I think it's going to come down to, obviously, Daxton. Is it Daxton Hill? Is that his last name?
Mm-hmm. Daxton Hill, Jalen Petrie, and Lewis in Georgia.
Yeah,
like there's a two out there right now in William Hill under 2 minus 145. So like, there aren't going to be, so you know, you're going to get Hamilton, but are you going to get
two. I mean, it feels kind of pushy at two, but you're not going to get two of those three to land on three to beat you, I wouldn't think. So if you want to take a little chance there, I mean, under two with the better number than 1.5, you could potentially do that.
Yeah, I'm a little prepared to lose that one. Here's, and these are all draft positions. Draft position, Derek Stingley under 11.5, -110. Can't get that anywhere anymore. These are all chronological.
That one is solid.
Yeah, that one's gone on position and number. Draft position, Ahmad Gardner under 7.5, -130. We'll see. Draft position, Ike Ekwonu over 3.5, based on what Drew is saying there. Maybe a good bet at -130. Draft position, you like that one?
I like that one a lot, yeah.
Draft position, George Karlaftis over 18.5. Here's a case of laying the juice, -170.
You can find a 19.5 now at -160 as well.
I like it.
What I left saw that at.
Draft position, Garrett Wilson.
George is out to 21.5 offshore. So
I like it.
That's sailing. And juice to the over. Yeah.
Just a few more here. Draft position, Garrett Wilson, as you talked about, Chris, under 10.5, -165. Draft position, Charles Cross, which ends up being my biggest position, under 7.5, +100. I did not get the best of the best number, but I'll take the +100. Draft position, Kayvon Thibodeau, under 4.5. I laid -175. I didn't get the best number on that, but I'll take it. And then this weekend, my last two, I just made these. Playing position of first drafted player by Giants. Offense, +100. I'm loving that. And then I did the Aiden Hutchinson shenanigan at the end, which maybe might be my, along with the safeties, might be, if I'm, what we're hearing is that Kayvon Thibodeau goes number two. I'm still not buying it. But if that's the case, I'd be screwed here. But I did the whole first overall draft pick, Hutchinson, -125, second overall draft pick, Hutchinson, +145. That was just a bankroll building tandem. We'll see if I get torpedoed on that in the end. But I love that group of bets. And so, you know, I'm pretty pumped right now. Things could change in the next couple days, that's for sure.
But from what you said, it sounded like you had about four that are, you can pretty much grade them winners right now, based on the way the market has moved.
I hope.
But
it's
there's a couple. You're threading some needles. There's a couple. You're going to be sweating. You're going to have a good draft.
There's
going to
be a sweat
on a couple of these
for sure.
Thibodeau. I like your Thibodeau under a lot. I think he goes two or four. I like your Wilson under a lot. He's gotten massively steamed to be wide receiver one, which means he's gone 8 or 10.
He better go away because I don't want to be sitting there Thursday night. The Jets are on the clock and Garrett Wilson's on the board. I don't need that kind of stress and sweat while I'm working.
So you know what you have going for you actually is that I don't think it's a secret that the Jets covered Wilson at the 10, mm-hmm. and that's his hard spot, and that look who's picking 9. It's the Seattle Seahawks, who are kind of the most willing trade team in history during the draft. And so anyone has eyes for Wilson, they're coming up to 9 to get him before the Jets can pick him at 10, assuming he gets past the Falcons. So I think Wilson in that 8, 9, 10 is very, very solid. Your safety pick is going to be a sweat.
That one's the worst one of the bunch, I think.
Here's what I'll tell you about safety. The Louis Cine under 34.5, because he is a very good fit for an enormous hole in the Lions organization, and they pick 32 and 34. If the Lions use 32 on him, I won't be surprised. If they don't, I would expect 34 to be his backstop. But there's other teams that I think have interest in him, so he may end up going even before the Lions get a chance to swing. The thing I'll mention about Hamilton, because I have a bunch of Hamilton over at basically a single digits all the way through double digits, all the way through 10.5 was where I stopped betting it. But he's in the free fall phase where he's going to go so far down the board that teams are going to inevitably pass on him because they didn't do their due diligence. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like teams in the 20s may have a crack at him, but ultimately pick whoever they have done more research and kind of detailed analysis on, just because they didn't think he was going to be available when they started their process, you know?
What killed him in the combine?
Speed.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, he can't cover slot wide receivers. And, that's a big part of the game now.
Yeah, he basically is being tagged by a lot of NFL talent evaluators as strong safety at this point. And if you think using a first round pick on a strong safety is wise, there's just not enough of a value for the position at that point. And also the just in general, it's not a premium position that you use a first round pick on, even, and the speed was a huge question mark. And also he needs a specific fit, at least the way that people envision his role. And maybe all that's unfair. Maybe he's a great pro. But if he falls past, say, the Commanders at 11, there's going to be a lot of teams that either don't have a need or haven't done their due diligence on him, and he could slide when Aaron Rodgers slid to like 24th overall, and people were like, how could this be possible? And it's just like a lot of teams thought he was going to go number one or two or whatever, and so they didn't even really do their due diligence on him, you know. And I think you could get into a similar sort of situation with Hamilton. Not that he's going to be as good as Aaron Rodgers, obviously, but
it's such, other than that part of the analogy, I understand. That's such a great point about position, though, right? Say that, which is part of the reason why I made that one bet, the under 1.5. I like the price plus 188. But I was just like, exactly what you said, Drew. You don't use your first round pick on a safety. Washington last year ended up picking Jamin Davis. I want to say they drafted 19 or 17. I can't remember exactly where it was. Jamin Davis ended up being an outside linebacker. Like, they used their first round pick on an outside linebacker. Like, you can't draft that way. There are certain positions you should not be coveting in the first round of an NFL draft. And so, yeah, that's part of the safety reasoning anyway. We'll see. I don't expect to win that, like I said. You know, the other question, guys, is obviously people want to know about quarterbacks. I have a bet over 3. How many do you think go in the first round based on what you're hearing? And who goes first? Who goes second? Who goes third? If you have any indication of that.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule-release to learn more.
I think it's going to be 3, and I don't know the order.
Nor where they go.
It's funny because, I think it's going to be 3. I don't think you're going to see a quarterback go until late teens, early 20s. And then at that point, it's just kind of, I guess, here's what I'll say. Last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers were an open book about taking Najee Harris. Everyone and their mother had Najee Harris. You're going to go fill out a mock draft. The first thing you did is you put Najee Harris to the
24 Pittsburgh Najee Harris.
Yeah, right. Like, it was such a poorly kept secret. And this year, for better, to their credit, I suppose, they are clearly targeting quarterback. But if you ask 10 people who are closely connected to the organization, they'll give you three answers. I've heard a equal split of people saying, oh, no, I think they really love Willis. No, it's absolutely, it's Pickett. Oh, no, for sure. A solid connection to Ritter, you know, and it's like, okay, well, you know, if it's that, they've done a good job of kind of keeping it a secret exactly who they want. Well, that was very smart because, you know, you had a willing trade partner one spot ahead of them. You know, anyone, if they were out there just beating their chest about, we're going to take Willis if he's available to us, then it's pretty obvious anyone else that wants him go one pick ahead of them and you're good to go. So I think that was a smart strategy standpoint. I don't know who ultimately they take out of those people. You're just making a guess at this point. I think that surely the Steelers and then also the Titans have done the most work in sincerely looking at taking a quarterback in this year's draft. And I think the Bills are an interesting positional spot where anyone who has eyes for a quarterback is calling the Bills to trade up ahead of the Titans, because if you like Ritter, if you like Pickett, if you like Willis, whoever's available in that range, I think you want to pick ahead of the Titans and get your guy. So if anyone's kind of in the late round trade up for a quarterback, I think the Bills pick is probably the landing spot for that. And you probably see three guys kind of go in that 19, 20,
20, 21, 22
range.
Yeah, Gillett, what Drew said, like, it'll be, I think it'll be three, and I have no idea on the order. Because you have to just try and separate, like, what you see and then how these teams draft. Like, none of these guys really are first-round guys. But, you know, just based on how teams draft, they're going to overreach on a quarterback and probably put their franchise in a bad situation for the next couple of years if they try and one of the over unders that I like, Kenny Pick, was over 12.5. Like, I don't think Atlanta's taking him at 8. I mean the Seahawks, who the hell knows what they're going to do at 9 based on their awful picks lately, but they're not going to take Kenny Pickett at 9. Like, he's 12.5. Like, or is Washington going to take him at 11? I don't think so. That would be another bad pick. So, like, picking over 12.5, I think, is another pretty good over-under type bet.
I agree.
I don't mind laying 175 on that.
I would agree, and I also agree with the sentiment of, you know, obviously you know this better than anyone, Chris, because you're more immersed in college football than all of us, but it's on the one hand, they're crazy to draft these quarterbacks high. On the other hand, you totally get it, right? Because you're nothing in this league without a quarterback. And at some point, if you don't have one, you do go quarterback crazy, and perhaps justifiably so. Like, you just want to take a shot. So I kind of get it. Well, here was my thing with the three, betting the three. I feel like it's a little more likely there's four than there's two. Let's put it that way. That's why I made the bet that I made. I fully expect to push that bet. The wideouts, I fully expect to win. The quarterbacks, I expect to push.
Yeah.
Drew?
Yeah.
You have a thought.
It's going to be a sweat at the end of that first round, man.
Yeah.
Because it's going to take somebody trading back in, I think. The teens to the 20s. Yeah. And kind of in a normal year, these are uncertain picks. In this year, it's even more insane just because the top is so uncertain. presumably you trade into the bottom of the first round for a quarterback if you want to develop that prospect, because if you hit, then you have a fifth year option of cost control, and that's huge if you're building a team. And so there's always incentive for teams to do that. And if one of these guys, Pickett, Willis, or Ritter, or even Sam Howell, or even Matt Corral for that matter, if somebody has eyes for one of those guys, it makes way more sense to take him, you know, 31 than it does 33, just because of that flexibility you get. Cincinnati Bengals have the 31st pick right now. They look like an obvious would be willing to listen to, teams willing to trade up and get an extra pick to move back into the second round if someone wants a quarterback there. The problem is really, like, it's been very, very tough to connect the dots between any specific quarterbacks and teams this year, just because the process has been so, or at least the reaction from the teams has been so underwhelming to these guys from a talent standpoint.
Chris said his favorite ones that he has, or what he thinks he knows the most, are the Garrett Wilson under 10.5 and the Charles Cross under 7.5. Is there a bet that you have, Drew, right now that you like better than the rest? Or are you keeping it pretty nitty, to use the poker term, until day or day before?
Well, I mean, it's tough. Like I said, the liquidity is so shallow this year. First of all, like, you know, there's a couple offshore spots who are usually very willing to take a bet. And you can get like $25 on like some over-unders right now. It's truly like they literally are telling you, go bet this somewhere else. We don't want your action. The only place that's taking any meaningful bets, the folks over at Bookmaker are doing a decent amount of, they'll write you to win 3K with rebets on the on some of the select markets that are high profile.
Yeah. Though are 250 a shot, right?
All the over unders, yeah. But if first overall, second overall, third overall, you can get to win 3K with rebets, which is nice.
Right.
Everything that I have bet, it steamed like bananas, so it's not really worth kind of being like, you know, hey, this was good at this number that you're never going to see again. But I think fundamentally, the icky, I think icky you can still get. Yeah. He's over 4.5 for him, -120. Very, very solid. I don't think an offensive player. Similarly, Evan Neal over 5.5, I think is pretty solid. I think unless, you know, the Giants could take him at 5, but I think it's much more likely that, that they either go with their guy Cross before the Panthers can take Cross, or they take a cornerback in Gardner at 5. Similarly, the Stingley under is still bettable at 9.5, even though it's juicy. I think he goes in the top 5. In general, I think that pulls that has some gravity on guys like McDuffie, even though he may not be worthy of kind of steaming up a board right now. If two cornerbacks go in the top 5, he's going to go before pick 17. There is sort of a compounding butterfly effect of that stuff. And in the same sense, the wide receivers, like if there's a run, 8, 9, 10 are all wide receivers. Then Olave goes way before he's expected to go. And Burks goes way before he's expected to go. So those unders look pretty, pretty realistic as well. And honestly, if you're betting at some of the legal shops, they'll let you parlay these in a way that you can capture that, that there will be a run.
Who's letting you parlay right now? DraftKings? Are they letting you parlay?
DraftKings and FanDuel, I believe, will let you parlay these. We looked at this last week, but
Chris,
you can
diverting
do
another
under,
plane as we speak.
You can.
I miss that connection.
You could do the under on Sauce Gardner, Stingley, and then whoever you think CB3 is going to be, because if those two guys go earlier than expected, then some other team taking a court, taking the best cornerback available when they get their chance to in the early teens, I think is pretty likely. So, there's a lot of correlation when there are certain runs at positions, and wide receiver and cornerback are the two that I think are most likely to have runs to the good. Tackle is the one that I think most likely to have a run to the bad. I think tackles are already sliding. We have seen a lot of mock drafts in the, early in April where you had two tackles in your top 5, 3 or 4 in the top 10. And I think that's not happening. I think you're going to see two tackles in your top 10. One of Icky or Cross. One of Icky, Cross, or Neal. One of those guys is going to slide. He's surprisingly available in like the 12 range or the 13 range. Like Texans could take Stingley 3rd overall and get their cornerback that they'd so covet, and then still have a shot at guy like Icky or Neal at 13 potentially. Like it could have very realistically happen.
That would be a hell of a draft for that.
And so it was, that is on the table. I think at towards the bottom of the draft, I've heard real deal information that Quay Walker, the linebacker, he's first round guy. Yeah, there's been some serious smoke there. He's still 40.5 at some spots. I would play him to the under at 40.5. I've seen some real deal smoke on Lewis Cine, like I mentioned. Under 34 makes a ton of sense for him. Those two are still widely available bets, I believe. I wouldn't mind Walker first linebacker. Again, kind of swinging for the fences here. You can find some first linebacker props. Walker is in like the 8-1 range. That's not bad. You know, there's questions. The other guys ahead of him in that one.
Lloyd
and the other guy, both injury concerns. Dean, Small. I wouldn't be blown away if there's only one linebacker in the first round this year, and it's Quay Walker. So taking him first linebacker is a fun one.
It's funny. You guys were talking about like penciling in certain players, but can I just like bet the New England Patriots select Nakobe Dean with their, that is a perfect, Bill Belichick New England Patriot pick right there.
Well, there's definitely a price for that.
There's definitely a price for that. DraftKings, you can bet yes, no's on will they be in the first round? Will they be a top 32 pick? The parlay thing is just, man, my head is exploding. I would go nuts with those if I was in a jurisdiction that had those. Guys, unfortunately, we got to run, so because we have a hard out here. But I just sort of throw it out to you. Any final thoughts that haven't been mentioned, Chris? Anything that people should keep an eye out on, eye out for?
The only other thing that I had heard from someone who follows the Browns and is dialed into the Browns pretty good is he's fairly certain that they're going to take a wide receiver with their first pick, which obviously doesn't come until early second round. I mean, they did bring in Amari Cooper, but you lose Landry, you lose Higgins, and you have Deshaun Watson. You would think that they're going to add another weapon to give him as many weapons as possible. So you could probably have your pick where they're picking is someone like Christian Watson or Mechie, so that you can get Browns to select a wide receiver right around plus 250 or so. That's the only other thing that I had jotted down and I wanted to get out there.
I like it. Mechie and Pickens, like the forgotten wide receivers, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Drew, any last thought?
I like that a lot. Dig if you're betting in a legal jurisdiction. The offerings at DraftKings and FanDuel and PointsBet are far superior to what you can find offshore or that I've seen in hanging legal, you know, in locally in Las Vegas at least. And you can find more fun ways to play some of this stuff. Like, if you feel like Cross goes fifth to the Giants, which I think we all think is a very realistic possibility, he's the first offensive player at plus 750. Right? Like you can find fun, interesting ways to play those, surprising. Cause like right now, the top of the first offensive player drafted market is Icky and then Evan Neal and then Malik Willis. I mean, Cross equally likely to go first offensive lineman drafted. And if you look at the offensive lineman market, Cross is, what is he? He's probably still also in that range where he's 600 in the first offensive lineman market, but plus 750 for first offensive player. Like it's pretty obvious, at least to me, that if he goes first offensive lineman, he's the first offensive player as well. So, yeah. You know, if you shop around and just in general, if you shop around, we didn't even mention this, but this should be mentioned on every draft podcast every year.
Yeah.
You're going to get wildly different prices across different books. So get as many outs as you can, shop around and find your best price available.
Chris, you're going to need more than an hour in Detroit, Chris. Man, plus 750, some of these, man. All right, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Good luck with all of our bets. I'll throw myself in there. Good luck to all of us. Chris Velika, Drew Dinsick, at Chris Velika on Twitter, at @whale_capper for Drew on Twitter. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it.
Oh, of course. Hey, best of luck. Enjoy the draft.
The best betting vehicle of the entire calendar year. Skill Alexander, thanks for listening. Good luck with all your draft bets on Thursday.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.